Lecture topic, advice of Hazrat Mulana Abdul Hassan Ali Nadwi, Rahimahullah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa kafa. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. There's no intention of giving any lengthy bayan today. Just some simple, short advice. And sometimes, if we latch onto these simple things, it will open the way for us for many, many big things. But the advice is very simple but very deep. Because the advice is not of my advice. The advice is of one very great personality, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh. Just to get a very brief idea of who the personality was. He passed away around, I think in 99 or 2000. One of the things about him, he wrote an Arabic primer, a basic book in Arabic, which is used in the primary part of the Alim course in probably, Allah knows best, hundreds of madaris, maybe thousands. So what the point is, that every year, Allah knows best how many ulama graduate throughout the world in so many madaris, South Africa, India, Pakistan, England, and where not. So this is one of the books that is used to teach students Arabic. So he's got a share in the knowledge of every alim that's graduating through these madaris. This is a sign of the acceptance Allah Ta'ala blessed him with. He was given the King Faisal Award in his time for the service of Deen. In his early 20s, he was, maybe mid-20s, he wrote one book in Arabic, Mada Khasir al-Alam, Bin Hitat al-Muslimin. That what loss has come to the world due to the degeneration of Muslims. Muslims, they went backwards as a result of their degeneration. What a loss they caused to the whole of humanity. So he wrote this book in his early 20s, or mid-20s. And it happened that he was gone for Hajj, and he was seated in the Haram Sharif on the Jumu'ah, and the Imam of the Haram was now delivering the khutbah, and in the course of the khutbah, he quoted Waqala Sheikh Ali al-Hindi. Now, he's sitting in that gathering, he's sitting in the Haram Sharif, and he's listening to the Imam of the Haram. He's in his 20s. The Imam of the Haram is quoting from his book and making a point. That what a wonderful point this person has written, something for us to take note of. Now, this is the very brief background of who the personality was. So in any case, he was, one of the things about him was that he was a very great historian. He wrote volumes on Islamic history. So towards the latter part of his life, and now this is a part that is for us to take to heart. In the latter part of his life, he one day gathered all his family. And this was like, as if it was, not necessarily it was the last address to them, but it was like a farewell address to them. He gathered all his family members, elders, youngsters, everybody. And then he gave them a talk. And in that talk, he said to them that, look, I have studied history in depth. Obviously, he was a historian. He wrote books on history and volumes. So now to be able to write volumes, what extent you have to study to get to that point? So how many volumes and volumes he would have read up before he could put together those volumes that he produced. So he said, through this entire study of history, throughout the ages, many, many centuries, I've studied about many great families who were very great in terms of their service to Deen and the kind of contribution they made to the betterment of Muslims in general. Meaning families who were really noteworthy. And then I saw in the light of history and the study of history that these families, as time went, sometimes there was, after a couple of generations, no mention of it anywhere. Finished, lost. Meaning became extinct in terms of their prominence, their greatness in terms of their contribution to deen, in terms of the service of deen, etc. And the good that they did for people around, all got lost. Now, at one time, they were at the peak as a family, and then everything disappeared. So sit in the light of all the study of all these people and families, and I want to give you three advices. And if you hold on to these three things, then inshallah you will maintain the legacy of your father. Now this particular family also was a family of great ulama, pious people. He came from such a lineage. So now he was addressing people around him who were all family. So he was giving them a lesson from this angle. It was something confined, that it is for the purpose of just preserving your family name. No, no. It was for the purpose of preserving deen in the family. It wasn't a matter of any prominence needs to be preserved, but to preserve deen, that's a fundamental responsibility. So what he was actually giving them advice about, that look after your deen. But now in very simple advices, which are very easy to latch on to, and sometimes these are the things that we tend to take for granted. So simple, so now simple things are generally in our mind not really worthy of taking note of, because it's presented in such a simple way. Somebody makes a seminar of it, maybe then it'll be worthwhile taking note of. Makes a whole conference about it, then maybe it's something to take note of. But now in simple words, in few lines, then this is not something so really noteworthy, whereas sometimes that's what we need to just hold on to. So in any case, he said to them, look, you hold on to these three things, inshallah you'll maintain your deen, you'll maintain this legacy of your forefathers as well, what deen they left for you. So in any case, thereafter he mentioned three things. And in this few minutes, this is what we just want to share, what I need for myself. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala bless us all to understand this message. And as the little background that was given, that this was from a person who has had that in-depth knowledge about history, and then he was a person of a great caliber, very senior alim and personality. So in any case, he mentioned three things to them. Number one, first thing he said, never ever be, he started off by saying, rather be the oppressed, but never ever be the oppressor. Rather be the oppressed, but never ever be the oppressor. Now, often, when these kind of things are discussed or mentioned, the only thing that comes to mind sometimes is on a political level. So there's oppression on a political level, and that's what is all being spoken about. No, it's at any level, from top to bottom, from the most basic level. Because in day-to-day life, things happen, and sometimes we don't realize that we have overstepped the mark, and that overstepping the mark sometimes is zulm. It is oppression. It is trampling somebody's rights. It is hurting somebody. It's causing somebody some harm, physically, emotionally, financially, in whichever way, and that's zulm. And in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah." This will become a means of darkness on the day of Qiyamah. Meaning, the person in darkness may go to hell. How is he going to? He'll end up falling in Jahannam, Allah save us. So now he gave this message to them, that come what may, rather be the oppressed, but never ever be the oppressor. Now, he used to mention about himself. He says, this was the nurturing of my mother. Now this is the tarbiyat. Nowadays, these things are becoming less and less of the focus of parents. It's more about making sure the child is very highly educated and he has very well, he's very well set up financially and so on. But the real values, the whole attention is towards valuables. How much valuables he'll be able to amass. But inculcating values within the child, that is the most important thing. So in any case, he said, this is the nurturing of my mother. He says, whenever, while I was a little child also, if ever I did anything that crossed the line in terms of anybody, to the extent of even if I disrespected the servant, let alone the servant, the servant's child, she would never let that pass. Then he gave one incident for example. He says once, the servant's child, he hit the child. Children. So now, that child started crying. So his mother got there to find out what's going on. Got to know that he hit the child. So she immediately, she brought the child, brought him, and said to the child, how he hit you, you hit him back. Now that child was overawed. Now this is the son of his mother's employer. So now he knows where he's staying. He was growing up in that, living around there too. So he's conscious of this. He was probably at that age where he can understand this much. So he was too overawed to do anything. He says, my mother took that child's hand and hit me. So that I learned that this is not ever to be done. He says, that nurturing came up within me in such a way. See, my whole life, I was never ever ready to take on a fight. So rather, it doesn't matter, let it be. Says that she inculcated this in my heart and life. Come what may, be the oppressed. Because with the oppressed, the Muslim, Allah's help is with the Muslim. And the zalim is under the curse of Allah Ta'ala. So now this is in any sphere of life, wherever it might be, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's out on the street, whether while driving, whether in within the four walls of the home, but all the time to be concerned that which side of the line am I on? I mustn't cross the line anyway. So now the first lesson he gave, rather be the oppressed, don't ever be the oppressor. Now, as mentioned earlier, if now this had to be made a seminar of this, then we'll see now it's something really worthwhile taking note of. Somebody made a conference of it. But the message is this. That whole conference and seminar too will come out with the same message if this is what it's meant to give. And the message is so simple but so deep. Very deep. Because it goes to the depths of so many things which get taken for granted. What a person said can become zulm. How he conducted himself can become zulm. So any case is a very complete discussion on its own. That was lesson one. Then the second advice he gave them, he said, never ever touch haram. Forget haram. Don't even go into doubtful things. One is clear-cut haram, obviously, there's no question about it. Haram in all its different facets. He was primarily discussing about haram wealth. That when haram comes into the system, then it will corrupt everything. Or sometimes just to very lucrative deal, just cutting corners, sometimes we're cutting so many corners that it's gone right into the middle of everything. But that lucrative deal that brought in any amount of haram in the system, that's going to corrupt everything. It's going to cause mayhem. And often when that drama starts, person can't even think where to link it to, where it started off from, what's the underlying issue. Just can't make head and tail of anything. Why it's gone in this manner? But many a times it's that haram that has now creeped up into the system. So he said to them, don't ever touch haram, let alone haram, don't even touch doubtful wealth. It doesn't mean that if there's a problem somewhere, then that problem is due to somebody, now some haram came. There's a multiple number of things that can become the reason for issues. But this is one of the very important aspects. And to highlight the importance of this, Allah Ta'ala addressed the Anbiya alayhimus salam, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'amalu saliha. Allah is addressing the messengers. Allah Ta'ala addressed every messenger. Eat of what is pure. Eating not necessarily confined to actually consuming, earning. Every cent of the earning in a pure manner. And wa'amalu saliha, do righteous deeds. The Mufassirin explain, because there's a direct link. When there's only halal and pure things consumed, that itself will drive a person towards what's good. And when other things come into the system, then his eyes can't look at the Quran Sharif. He'd rather look at some filth. His eyes rather look at some filth half the night. He will recite Quran Sharif for 5 minutes. His tongue will be talking whatever else, but the zikr of Allah Ta'ala are very difficult to come on the tongue. And likewise, whatever other examples we can take. So he highlighted this particular aspect, that look, come what may, don't touch haram, and don't even go to doubtful things. And this is not just, again, a lesson that is confined to wealth, but this should be the principle of life. That there are certain things in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, certain things are clear-cut halal, and certain things are clear-cut haram. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. And between these two, وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ, there are certain things which the average person doesn't know for sure where it lies. The people of deep knowledge, they will know. But the average person can't make sure. He's not sure. So now the attitude or the approach sometimes that is adopted, then if I'm not sure about it, then fine, let go with it. We'll see later. Now he went ahead, and then it became clear cut that this was wrong. This was haram. This was sinful. So now the damage is done. But if he said, well, I'm not sure, so rather stay away. And if it turned out later, there wasn't a problem, what he lost? Nothing. So that's the message the Hadith Sharif is giving us, Nabi Islam is giving us. Stay on the safe side. Stay well on the safe side, on the path of caution. When it comes to the material aspects, then a person is very cautious, he's making some investment, he wants to make sure that there's no, everything is above board, he's doing due diligence, and the type of terminology which his grandfather probably never heard about, he's getting consultants to teach him about it. Why? Because now he's got to make this big investment, so he can't take chances. Our investment of akhirat starts now. Our life is all about investing for the akhirat. Because any moment we'll leave all this dunya behind and go away. We don't know, we have no guarantee we're going to see tomorrow. So the real investment we have to make is for the akhirat. And for that, whether it is anything material, whether it is action, whether it is something that's happening somewhere, some new things keep coming up in every community and place and the world. But we have to be cautious about what we do. Some things are clear-cut haram. There's no question about going close to it. And even that which is not clear-cut, but not clear-cut genuinely correct either, stay far away from it. So that was the second message he gave them. And then the third message that he gave, now he's talking to everybody there that's gathered there as his family, whatever number of people might have been there in the hundreds or whatever. Extended family, we all gathered. So he said, look, with your family members, always maintain family ties. And no matter how negatively somebody might treat you, you make sure you treat him positively. Now, this was actually, again, as mentioned, these are things being said in simple words, so that it's easy to digest it, easy to understand it. But there's all direct messages from the Hadith Sharif, Sil man qata'ak, join ties of relationship with those who cut off ties from you. Now, this was not just words, it was what he lived also, in the light of the Hadith Sharif, what he lived. It is mentioned about him that it was commonly known in the family circles that if now mitai, sweetmeats, we're talking about that zamana in India now, we're going back now, 50 years, 40 years, and more than that too. So So these luxuries were not commonly enjoyed by people. Those occasions, once in a while, somebody will now have an opportunity of tasting some mitai. So now a very sought after thing, something very really looked forward to, if somebody now has got some occasion and they present some mitai, they can't miss out on this. So this was a common thing now, that if you want to ever, you're feeling for some mitai now, many days have passed, 2-3 months passed now, you never tasted mitai. Now you really, want to have something, all you do is, you go and say something harsh to him. Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, became like a kind of joke, so to say. Not that people were actually told to do it, but it became like a kind of joke. If you ever feel like eating mitai, then you must go and abuse him in some way. Go and say something harsh to him. Go and talk something in a harsh way. Then without fail, you will leave there eating some mitai. He'll buy it for you. He'll have somebody go and bring it. He'll engage you in some talk. And before you leave from there, you'll eat mitai and leave. In other words, somebody gave him some bitter words, he made it his job, he'll send the person off with something sweet. See, that became his way. Somebody treated him in whichever way, he, no matter how negatively, he would respond in the positive manner. And this is what the Hadith Sharif has taught us. That was the embodiment of the Hadith Sharif, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlighted this message, Sil man qata'ak. Join ties of relationship with those who cut it off. Wa'afu amman zalamak. Forgive the one who has oppressed you. And go one step beyond that also. Wa'ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. The one who treats you badly, you give him good treatment in return. Because this is the prescription for the barakat in everything. Barakat, ask anybody who wants barakat, put your hand up. This tashkil will be 100%. Everybody wants barakat, obviously. And this is something that we should seek. Seek barakat in everything. And barakat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, man ahabba, you want barakat? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asking us, man ahabba yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi. The one who wants barakat in his life and barakat in his wealth. How is he going to get it? The prescription Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives, fal yasil rahima. And he must maintain family ties. Join ties with those who cut off ties from him. Then this is a prescription of the barakat. Barakat in life, barakat in wealth. So barakat is something else. One is kasrat. Let the numbers grow. But if the numbers grow without barakat, then the bigger it grows, it will become a bigger problem. And if there's barakat in it, and the numbers are growing also, alhamdulillah, it becomes a means of greater benefit. And if the numbers are small but there's barakat, that too will go a long way. The thing to seek is barakat. And barakat comes from deen. Barakat comes from taqwa. Barakat comes from the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And barakat comes from what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, that adopt these amal, this is what brings barakat. So these were the three lessons he gave them. Again, very simple words. There was no major seminar, or big conference. But he left them with three things which if we take to our heart as well, we practice on it, inshallah our deen and dunya will get made. Obviously, the basics, fundamentals can't be compromised in any way. But on a broad scale, this will bring peace and happiness in our homes, in our communities, in our societies. It'll bring that barakat that we are desiring and it'll make our akhirat as well. So this is the advice that I needed for myself. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq as well. Allah Ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq. And Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal on all these things that we learn from time to time. That is the most important thing, that we practice on what we are taught in terms of the lessons of the Quran and Sunnah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم أصلح واهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى، اللهم اهد الناس جميعا، اللهم اهد الناس جميعا، اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين، اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله.